lot of times we allow situations and things we see get in the way of what God wants to do. See, God's big and nothing is impossible for him. But I think sometimes he waits for his people to respond in faith. See, faith is actually when your day sucks, that I'm still gonna worship him. See, what happens is it's really easy to worship on those Sundays that's like fun and exciting and good, but some of you have had a rough day. I sense in my heart some of you have had some rough week. Had some hard stuff that we're gonna pray over right now. But it's when you attach your faith and say, you know what, even though I've had a hard week and I didn't get the report I wanted and I didn't see the breakthrough I wanted, that God's promises still remain, that he's faithful, that he came up out of that grave, and if the Holy Spirit rose Christ from the grave, he can lift up my hands and worship no matter what situation I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing in my life. Some of you just need to rise up in faith today. God's not interested in changing your situation this week. He's interested in changing you. Will you worship even when things are hard? See, that's why we're here today, because God has been faithful, and I feel like something's shifting right now in our hearts. The Comforter is here. His name is the Holy Spirit, and he's ready to comfort hearts. He's here to encourage hearts, and he's here to build up hearts. Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name. I pray, Father God, that you would just bless the hearts of the people right now. Lord, I just sense in my heart, we've heard this week, there's people who had surgery. There's people who had diagnoses that weren't the ones they wanted to hear. Lord, there's people, Father God, who said bye to loved ones. Lord, there's things going on in our country, in our city. I pray, Father God, Lord, that right now, Lord, that we wouldn't allow those things to affect us. But Lord, it's in those moments, Father God, it's in the opposition where we have an opportunity to let your light shine brighter. So I pray the darkness would not snuff out this church, but I pray right now in the name of Jesus that this church will allow the darkness to flee every area in this town, every area in this place. I pray darkness has to flee right now because, Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so I just pray right now over every individual in this place. I pray, Father God, Lord, that you would bring healing. Lord, I pray, Lord, that it says in your word, for a spirit of heaviness, we lift up a garment of praise. Lord, if we want to see depression leave, then we need to lift praise up, Father God. It may be the thing that we don't think is going to help. It may be the thing that we don't think we feel like doing. But thank God that even though we don't feel like doing it, Father God, you bring breakthrough. You bring peace. You bring joy. And I just pray, Father God, that our faith would rise up today. Lord, we've been here before, and last time we missed it. But today we won't miss it, Father God. We're going to push past our feelings by the Spirit of God, and we're going to lift you praise. I don't care if it's been broken bones. I don't care if it's been broken marriages. I don't care if it's been broken reports. I pray in the Spirit of God, restoration is here and you are making all things new. And we declare it even if no one believes it. We will declare it because you said it, Lord. Lord, have your way in this place right now in Jesus' name. Don't sit yet. I want to read a scripture for you. John 14. Starting in verse 15, we've been in this message about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to continue on with that. Jesus is saying these words I'm going to read to you in a moment, and now I'll introduce who I am. So people, if this is your first time, we're so glad. I'm so glad that you even chose to be here. There's other places you could be today, and you chose to be here. It really blesses my heart. I know it blesses my wife's heart and our church's heart that you would come here for the first time. So thank you for coming out and joining us. Jesus is talking to his disciples before he dies, and rises again, and he tells them something. He says this, because his time is getting to the end, he begins to tell his disciples some things to remember. And he says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Now, commandments here, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments we see in the Old Testament. He's talking about what he has told them while he's been here. So I don't want you to confuse those things, because he actually says what's better than the Ten Commandments is that you would love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind. And the second is just like it, that you would love others above yourself. He says, if you do those things, you'll fulfill the greatest commandment of all. Love God, love others. He goes on to say, and I will ask the Father, his dad, Jesus' dad, and he will give you another advocate, which means comforter, counselor. That's the Holy Spirit, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him. Because he lives with you now and later will be in you. When Jesus uttered these words, it was before the Spirit came down. But now that we're reading it, the Spirit has poured down. In Scripture, it says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, which means it doesn't matter what background you had. It doesn't mean how your daddy was there or if he wasn't there. It doesn't matter if you are in the poverty-stricken area or you have tons of money. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. It doesn't matter if you're Latino. It doesn't matter if you're Asian. It doesn't matter what world class you came from. What matters is the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, I poured out my Spirit on all flesh. So it doesn't matter what background you have, the Spirit can fill you. And now we are living there, but we're going to look at Jesus' words before that moment so we can see how the Spirit operates. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bless these words. I pray you would encourage us today. I'm so excited to preach to I'm unbiased, Lord, but these are my favorite people. I love them so much, Lord. And I just pray that they would have their hearts open to hear your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Find a few people before you sit down and say, hey, I need a counselor. Come on, find a few people. Say, I need a counselor. I need a counselor. Some of you have been waiting to say that like all week. Some of your wives are like, hey, you look at your husband, you need a counselor. Some of you, you guys crack me up. I love you guys so much. Again, thank you for coming out. My name is Sean Jensen, and if I feel like I'm stuffed up or sound like that, if I starts going everywhere, just keep cheering me on, because it's going to happen, because I'm just coming off of this cold right now. But I need a counselor. I already unpacked this for you a little bit, and I really believe the Holy Spirit has a very distinct word for you, and I want to build it up by saying this, that I have two beautiful girls, absolutely adorable. Oh, thank you. They get their looks from me. So I have two beautiful daughters, and they're so gorgeous. And Charlie and Avery, they're amazing. They're amazing daughters. I can't even begin. I'll take all day to tell you how awesome they are. So much joy, so much peace. Yes, they are children who want their own way, but what God is already showing us in them is just mind-blowing of what they're going to do, and we're already speaking towards their potential that they're going to do greater things than their mommy and daddy did. And so I'm getting emotional talking about them, but I do realize that as a father, I love them so much. I want to take times to enjoy them. I want to take them to amusement parks. I want to take them swimming. I want to take them to the trampoline park. I want to take them to places that bring joy in their life. I love hanging out with my girls. I love chasing them around the house because they laugh and they enjoy and they have so much fun. And I do it because I love them. And I believe our Father loves us, and we shouldn't walk through this life not enjoying it. Our Father wants us to enjoy this life. How miserable would it be at the end of my life, I look back and see what God did through our ministry, and yet I didn't enjoy one part of it. He's like, I want you to enjoy every part of it, the hard talks, the fun talks, the stuff that's hard, the pressure, the people who talk around the town, all that stuff, I want you to enjoy it. And that's what God wants, but I realize being a father that even though I love my girls and I want them to enjoy it, I love them so much too that I actually discipline them as well. And those are the things that we don't focus on a lot, and the reason I discipline them is because I don't want my little girls to grow up being disrespectful to other people, because I know that God's word says we need to respect authority, and if you want to get over situations, you have to get under authority. That's a message for a whole nother time. Some of you can't overcome stuff because you're so tired of your boss, and you think that you're better, and you can never get under authority, and every time your parents say something, or your boss says something, or even your leader back in the welcome squad says something, you have a chip on your shoulder, and you wonder why God can't bless you. He says, I can only bless you if you get under. And I feel in my heart today that as your pastor, as your friend, as I don't know what else you call me, as a 5'6" dude with a mic who is coming with you with the Spirit of God, my heart today is to let you know that yes, there are times we laugh, and we had carnival last week and it was great, and we talked about everything that God wants to do and it was awesome, but this week I'm going to tell you it's going to feel a little discipline-y. But if you know in the back, see, if you know in the deepest parts of my heart that the reason why I bring this is because I truly want to see you free, then I pray that you would receive this word, because if you take these words into your heart, it's going to produce so much freedom in your life. The things that me and my wife stay up praying over you guys, the things that we want you to grasp, sometimes it's on the other side of discipline. And so I believe God wants to show us today in this scripture. That doesn't mean I'm going to be rude. That doesn't mean I'm not going to do it in love. I'm just saying some things I want you to really think about today. If they hurt, there is a reason for it. If they sting, it's because God wants you free. If it makes you uncomfortable, it's because the Spirit is speaking to you to stop living in the status quo and to step into what God has for you. And so I pray by the Spirit of God that he would do that today. I want to tell you this promise as Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit. Like, man, I like Sean when he tells jokes. That's not this week. The Holy Spirit will never leave you, and he will always lead you. The Holy Spirit will never leave you, and he will always lead you. Jesus is getting ready to leave, and he says there's going to be this advocate that's going to come in my place. You see, this whole time, you've been walking with Jesus, and inside Jesus lives the Holy Spirit. So everything Jesus did on earth was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so he says, you have been walking with this Spirit, but I'm telling you, I have to leave. I have to go, and it's for your good that I'm leaving, because I'm going to send you a gift, and his name is the Holy Spirit, and he'll no longer walk next to you. He will live in you. That's why I can't stand when Christians say, if I just lived next to the time where I could see Jesus, I think he would be insulted by that, because he gave us something better than that. He said that was next to you, but now you have the Spirit of Jesus living in you. You can talk to him. You can walk with him. You can holler at him. You can ask him to help your situation. We are living in a day and age that was better than what the disciples lived. Just because you don't see Jesus doesn't mean he's not working in your life. He is next to you more than you ever know. And he said, don't forget this, disciples, because you're going to think that I left you. He says, that's not the case. I was with you, but now I'm going to be in you. And so you can do greater things. He says, I'm leaving so I can send you the advocate. That word advocate, a word last week we talked about, he's the comforter. This week we're going to talk about he's the counselor. He gives us guidance. I know there's been times where I've had to go to the guidance counselor, which is kind of ironic because it's like saying the guidance. The guidance counselor, which is what counselors do. What do? They help you get to a destination. They help lead you out of a mess. They listen to your struggle. They listen to your pain. They listen to your hurt, and they see where you are. And then after finding out where you are, they get you a goal to where they want you to be, and their goal is to lead you to that place. Can I tell you that God has some vision for you? God has a destination for you and your marriage. God has a place that he wants you to be at, and he says, not only will I tell you where it is, I'll lead you to that place. I'm your counselor. I will sit on the couch. I'll have you sit on the couch, and I'll sit in the chair as long as you want. You can talk to me about your problems. You can talk to me about what you're going through. He says, I'm going to send you the counselor. He will never leave you, but he will always lead you. So this is what it says in verse 17. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Who leads into all truth. So I'm going to talk about three things real fast on why we should follow the Holy Spirit. Because even though the Spirit's leading our life, sometimes we choose not to follow it. And if we want to follow the Spirit, I hope I can help you understand why it's important to follow him. Because it's going to change your life forever. And the first reason is this. The Holy Spirit knows where we are going. The Holy Spirit knows where we are going. But Sean, I don't know where I'm going. That's all right. He does. Can I tell you something? You don't have to know the way as long as you're following the one who does. I'm just going to talk to you today. I don't really feel like preaching. I just feel like talking to you and explaining some things in your heart. Because he said in the scripture, he says you have a counselor and he's going to lead you into all truth. But sometimes we don't follow that because we don't see where he's leading us. And I don't know about you, but I want to know where I'm going every step of the way. Where are you taking me? Where are you taking my kids? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? What car are we taking? Are we taking a car? Are we taking a bus? Are we taking a pony? I don't care what we're taking. Just let me know how are we getting there. But the thing about the counselor, the one that he guides, he says he will come and he will lead you into all truth. Here's the thing. They had no idea what was going to happen, but the Spirit did. The Spirit knew where they were going. And I don't know if you want to know, but I want to know my future. I want to know what's around the turn. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to come into your life, not just so you can tell the future, but he wants to speak to you about a future thing so you can be prepared for it. Did you know that the Spirit loves you so much, he'll prepare you before that storm even comes? So you're not blindsided by it? You know those Christians who walk in, they're like, I saw it coming. You're like, ugh. Because the Holy Spirit is so good. He cares about your walk and he cares how you get there that he actually wants to do something in your heart. He wants to know what's going to happen before you even get there. It says this in John 16 when Jesus is talking about the Spirit again. He says, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, there it is again. leads you in all truth, spirit truth. I'm building something here. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Come on, Michael J. Fox. Isn't that awesome? Back to the future. He wants to tell you about the future. Our spirit, I don't know what you have heard. I don't know if you've been weirded out by it, but the spirit wants to lead you. That sounds very like, okay. He wants to lead you, so before you talk to that girl who's not your wife, he's going to tick your heart a little bit so you don't text her when you shouldn't be texting her. He wants to lead you. He wants to protect you. He knows your future. He knows what's along the line. He knows if you keep that habit up, it's going to leave you high and dry. He wants to lead you. A few months ago, I felt in my heart, I told Liz, I was like, I really feel like I'm supposed to go out to Tulsa. One of my friends is looking to go to Bible school there, and I told him, I promised him I'd take him out there, and for some reason, it just worked out so well, and I was going to go, and as we were getting closer, Matt and Julie dealt with, if you've been coming here, executive pastor and his wife, they had a loss of their child when it was born, and it was a heavy time, and so at that moment, I said, you know what, I'm going to stay back because I want to be there with the family because I wanted to be there. It's not like, oh, man, but he called me and said, hey, man, could I go to Tulsa with you? I just need to get away for a while. And in that moment, I realized the Spirit was leading us somewhere. Because in my heart, I didn't know where he was taking us, but I knew one thing. He said, Sean, I want you in Tulsa for this time. And as I was in Tulsa, if this is over your head, I'll explain it for a little bit, because this is how the Spirit works. As we were in Tulsa, I looked at Matt, and I looked at the guys, I said, I know that Ryan's here to look at school and everything, but I feel like I'm supposed to be here for a reason. I was going to meet up with my pastor, he just had a child, so I didn't have any time to meet up with him. And I said, I still believe that there's a reason why I'm here. So I dropped Ryan off at school and went back to the house to pick up Matt. And as I picked up Matt, I was going to go back to the school because the person who preached on the lawn in 2008 when I was a heathen and wasn't following Christ, he preached on the lawn. I got saved. I responded. I came down front. And that was when I was 20. That was 10 years ago. And I was like, I got to see this guy. I got to see him. I got to tell him. And so as I was heading back, I found out that this guy is actually now in charge of the school. As I'm going back, I'm texting, or Matt's texting on my phone because I was driving, because I don't text and drive. You shouldn't either. And as I was going, I was like, hey, man, are you at the office? I'm going to swing by and say hi. He said, yeah, but I only have about 15 more minutes, and it was going to take me 15 minutes to get there. And I'm like, every door is closing, but the Spirit led me here. And sure enough, he texted back, and he said, I was like, hey, man, I'm not going to be there till 15 minutes. I might miss you. He goes, well, listen up. He says, I'm actually going down right now to preach the church planning class. Would you like to preach it instead? What? He's like, you're on your way. Come meet me up at the office. I want you to teach during the church planning class. Oh, okay. Because when God opens doors, you don't go, no. You are prepared in season and out of season. That's why it's very important to have your word next to you so you're prepared when the storm comes. A lot of people are just living their life without praying and not getting in God's word or doing anything, and they expect to do it when the storm comes. I'm telling you, if you can't pray in the light of day, there's no way you're going to do it in the darkness of night. You got to start doing it. You got to start filling yourself up. And when he said, will you do this? I looked at Matt. I said, that's why the Spirit led us here. I say all that just to show the Spirit wants to lead you. I would have never been there, but the Holy Spirit does stuff like that. He knows your future. He knows where he wants you. Those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. The Holy Spirit knows where you're going. He wants a vision for your life, which means if he's beginning to lead you somewhere, you might want to pay attention because he knows what the outcome is. He knows where you're going, and that could be a good thing, but that could also be an encouraging thing to know that maybe you're heading the wrong way. And he's trying to lead you to the other way. He's trying to lead you to the other way. I got to build on because on top of the Spirit leads you and knowing where you're going, the second thing is this. He always, the Holy Spirit always leads you to freedom. Now this is where you might want to put your seatbelt on a little bit. What, about freedom? Really? Like, this is good stuff. See, a lot of people want freedom without truth. Verse 17, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him, because he lives with you and now will later be in you. So he says, this Spirit guides you into all truth. This Spirit leads into all truth. The Spirit is all about truth. Now, in our church, we always say that we want to preach with truth and grace. 100% of both, not 50-50, 100% of both. Every time we talk, we should do it with truth and grace, which means you can't go up to people and just start judging them and speaking terrible things about them without giving any grace. And you can't just look and be like, oh, well, just keep living in that lifestyle until you fall off a cliff too. I tell people like this, truth without grace is like doing surgery without anesthesia. As soon as you begin to cut, they'll pull away. Grace without truth is like doing surgery, but not, it's giving them all the anesthesia, but never cutting them open to get this sickness out. It makes them feel good, but it's still there. The Spirit comes to lead us into what? All truth. All truth. Now here we go. John 8:31 says, Jesus said to the disciples, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. He told his disciples this too. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Are you guys ready? The Spirit leads to all truth, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is of the matter is a lot of people want freedom without truth. A lot of people want to experience the freedom they see in others, but they don't want to stop with that sexual immorality that's in their life. A lot of people want what God wants for them, but he says the guidance of the Holy Spirit will always lead you into truth, and the truth of the matter is that may be uncomfortable. But if you realize that he leads you to truth, it's because he wants you set free. Because if you know the truth will set you free. In church, if you're here and this is your first time and you're just trying to check this thing out, listen, I'm talking to people who said, I'm a believer of Christ. I'm talking to people who said, I am following Jesus. I'm talking to the people who said, I want to look like Jesus. Jesus himself said, there is a cost to following me. There is a cost. We can't just choose Jesus and be like, Lord, just take parts of my life. Jesus wants us free. He will lead us into all truth, and the truth will set us free. And in this day and age, there's so much truth everywhere. Opinions have become truth. People's ideas have become truth. And here is the truth. Truth existed before you and I were here. Truth was here before we even uttered a word. Look at gravity. Truth. You can't change that. You can say opinions about it. You can say different things. But here's the truth of the matter. It still works the way it was designed to work. It's truth. It's absolute. And the thing about God's truth is it's still truth if you agree with it or not. And we have to get to an understanding to realize there may be some things in our life that we have listened to our parents and we have listened to how other people have done it. And because they've shared their opinions, it has become truth to us. But if it does not line up to the word of God, it is not truth and you will not find freedom in it. But not our church. We want freedom. And so we'll listen to the truth, even if it hurts, even if it doesn't just tickle our ears, even if we know that God wants the best for us, even if we have to continue to follow him, even if it hurts, even if that relationship is destroying me, even if I have to make the hard choices. I love you too much to see you in bondage, in sin, in shame. And the Spirit is saying, I'm trying to lead you into truth. But here's the catch. The truth will set you free. If you want freedom, then follow the truth. Follow the truth. Not what you hear. I know maybe as you're living in your life, you still to this day, I had a grandma who I loved tremendously, who was a little bit racist. And she would say things, and because I looked up to my grandma, I loved her so much, and those things may have become true to me because it's something that was passed down to me. And they may be true to you too. But when I look in Scripture that says the Spirit was for the Gentiles and the Jew, that the Spirit is for all people, I realize that even though what my grandma said may sound true to me, it's not the absolute truth. And if I want freedom in my life and people's lives, we have got to end the argument of racism. It's still alive, and we have to see what God's Word says about it. I told my wife, I said, today's going to be a hard day because I feel the Spirit is leading me to talk about some things, and I hope people hear my heart because it's the 4th of July, and we are in a free country, and that's a load. I'm thankful for everyone who fought for us. I'm thankful for the veterans. I'm thankful for the Marines. I'm thankful for the Navy. I'm thankful for people who put their life on the line so I can preach in this mic. But we would be out of our mind to say that this is still a country that is run by Jesus. We're not. But that's when the church steps up. It's okay to admit those things, and so I'm thankful for my freedom. And this isn't the most popular 4th of July message, I know. But I'm thankful for my freedom. I'm thankful for what God's doing. But if we can quote the amendments and the bylaws and the Declaration of Independence more than we can quote the Scripture, we have something wrong in our country. Because this is truth. This is truth. And if we want freedom in our country, this is truth. And if we want freedom in our marriage, this is truth. And if we want freedom in our relationships, this is truth. And we want freedom in our hearts, this is truth. It doesn't matter what culture says. It doesn't matter what media says. It doesn't matter if this seems outdated to you. It's truth, and the truth will set you free. Isn't it crazy that the things that God leads us to look like bondage, but they make us free? And the things the media leads us to looks like freedom, but it leads us to bondage. That's the kick about truth. Its truth looks binding until you live in it. The enemy wants you to think it's just bound, and it's not. And I feel like the Spirit of God is in my heart today to let some people know you've been flirting with that sin for too long. But you have a Spirit in you who doesn't just lead you out of it. He will help you overcome it. And you may fall flat on your face, but if you can keep moving forward, I'm telling you, you'll find freedom. I'm here for your freedom, not your pleasure. Jesus died for our freedom, not our pleasure. And when we live in freedom, I'm telling you, it's so good. I was talking to my wife. I was like, why do we have a, can I just continue to talk? Is this okay? Is this all right? I told her, why do a lot of people, I've been there, why do a lot of people ask when we talk about sin, like, how close to sin can I get without sinning? Like, how much can I do with that person before it's actually sin? Or how much do I really have to love them? Or I mean, how close to sin can I get? And we're asking the wrong questions. That's like saying, how close to a nuclear bomb can I get to without the effects of the radiation? You would never ask that. The sad thing is we don't look at sin like a nuclear bomb. We have dumbed down our view of sin. I have not been saved from my mistakes. I have not been saved from my past. I haven't been saved from my boo-boos and my owies and everything. I've been saved from sin that leads to death. Sin is messy. It is dirty, and it will kill you and your family spiritually. And Jesus said, I did more than just get you out of that. I rescued you from sin, death, and hell. Sin is a big deal, but Jesus is bigger than it. Why are we getting so close? That's like saying, how close can I get to this thing without feeling the effects of it? But the thing about a nuclear bomb is the closer you are, the radiation gets in. And even though it doesn't kill you instantly, it slowly starts to kill you. And some of us are allowing the radiation of sin into our life. And he says, I'm trying to lead you the other way. The real question is, how close can I get? The real question is, how close to Jesus can I get? And to truly believe that even though he leads us to things that aren't comfortable, that it's going to bring more freedom than the things I think are going to bring freedom. It takes faith. It takes faith. You see, I'm in a really weird place, guys. I think I'm just counseling with you guys right now, honestly. I'm in a really weird place because I'm a millennial. And the thing about millennials is we suck. I'm just kidding. We don't suck. I'm just kidding. That's what we hear all the time. Granted, someone just said it. And the reason why we stay as millennials is because we realize that maybe the way we are the way we are is because of some sins from the baby boomers. And the way you are because of the way you were was because of the sins of the generation before you. And we pass these things down. And I told Liz, I felt, I'm in an uncomfortable place in my life because I see so many people my age who have become so legalistic, but also have become so free in how they live their life. The things they promote, the things they listen to, the things they do, and these are the people leading our churches. And this is not a judgmental statement. What it is how far have we gone to continue to run after the things of the world to get so close to them when Jesus asks us to continue to get closer to him? See, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. And I remember when I first found Christ, and this is my own conviction, I said, I'm getting rid of my Lil Wayne CD, the Carter 3. It came out. I remember that one. A milli. Anyways, it's still there. I'm still renewing the mind, all right? But those things, I remember looking at that. I was like, if I want to continue to experience the freedom God has for me, I may need to get rid of these things. Because there's one thing I realized. Every time I listen to a rap song with that content in it, guys are visual and graphic, and I would view women the way they were talking about women. And if I wanted to be free from my sexual addiction, I'd not just had to stay away from that. Maybe there were some things I needed to let go of. And it seemed hard and it seemed tough because I like that music. It has a good beat. And there's always an excuse for sin. There's always an excuse to stay in it. But if you truly believe that God wants to lead you to a place of freedom, you'll let go of it. And I'm telling you, I could care less about that stuff compared to where I am now, that I'm completely free from sexual addiction. I'm completely free from the things that chain me down. I'm completely free from those things. And I do not regret a second of it. And some of you, God wants to reveal that freedom to you, but we keep saying, how close to the nuclear bomb can I get? Yes, do we need God's grace? Of course we need God's grace, but God's grace doesn't just save us, it empowers us to walk over sin. And so as we continue this journey, I'm not saying tonight that you're going to be all free from sin. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that you would be led by the Spirit of God who has come into this life to lead you to the destination he has for you. And he'll lead you into all truth. And the truth will set you free. But you're going to have to understand that maybe your truth is not always his truth. And that's okay. If you have not yet in a week said, man, I said something that doesn't make sense, you're probably doing it wrong. I look back a few years ago, I'm like, I'm so glad we don't have podcasts of that message. What was I doing? What was I telling them? And thank you for your grace. Pray. We're just going to pray for him. God's got this. I was talking to one of my friends this week, and not going to tell you who it was, but I was like, hey, man, we need to hang out sometime. He said, cool. He's like, here's my number, but it's also my wife's number. I was like, so when I'm texting you, I'm texting your wife? I feel very uncomfortable right now. He's like, if you just say who it is, she'll let me know, and then I'll respond to you or whatever. And so I thought about that for a while. I was like, that's different. I kind of like, not that I was mad about it. I was just kind of like, that's different. That's weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, like, oh, like, whoosh, you know what I'm saying? Like, all right, I get, you probably share Facebook names too. Anyway, so, sorry, Kai, Lori, Libby. I love you. And so I thought about that, and I remember just I was preparing this message, and I saw him again, and God put something in my heart. And as I was talking to him, I said, hey, man, I got to talk to you about something. He said, yeah. I was like, is the reason you and your wife share a phone is to protect you? He says, absolutely. Absolutely. He said, and maybe someday when I continue moving forward, I'm going to use a flip phone, but I'm not going to open up some of the things in the past. Do you know what I saw in that moment? He's not messing with sin because he knows it will destroy his marriage. And I feel like I'm saving a marriage today. Sir, you need to stop. You've been thinking about texting her. You've been thinking about messaging her. And I'm telling you, an emotional affair is still an affair. And God has more for your marriage. He wants freedom in your marriage. He wants freedom where you are. And the Spirit's going to lead you. And sometimes the truth is unsettling. But if you could hear my words, the truth will always bring freedom. In your marriage, in your relationships, in your life, it will always bring freedom. Have you ever thought about stoplights? Like, Sean, you're random. Have you ever thought about them? Why do we call them stoplights? Like, because they make you stop. No, but deeper than that. Why, we're such a pessimistic nation because they also let you go.
Stoplights, stoplights, negative lights, red lights.
But they're also go lights. They also protect you. We just call things, and I think so many times we come to God thinking he's like a stop God. It's just rules and regulations. Just stop. And so when you're listening to this message, maybe you're younger, maybe you're older, and you're thinking, man, Sean's trying to ruin my fun. It's just a stoplight. It's just a stoplight. But I'm here to tell you that you would switch your perspective, because what God's saying is when you overcome these things, it's a go light. All my promises are yes and amen. This will set you more free than what you even think it will. I'm not a stoplight God. I'm a go light God. But you better believe I'm going to stop you before you get T-boned in the intersection. That's how good he is. I'm so thankful for a God that will knock me on my butt to tell me, Sean, don't go that way. Sean, you need to leave that environment. Sean, every time you get around those people, they talk bad about that person. You're bigger than that. Don't let it in. You want freedom in your relationships? Stop hanging around people who put other people down. He says, I want to lead you out of situation. That's why this week you were in that circle and someone was bashing someone and you felt really uncomfortable. That was the Holy Spirit. That was him just reminding you, you're bigger than this. Even if you have to get up and walk away. My friend was a pastor. A guy in one of our networks, his dad was a pastor. What time am I at? Okay, good. I'm just talking. He was a pastor and he was sharing at his dad's funeral and he loved his dad, but he said, there's one thing I remembered so much about him is I was out to eat with my dad, and he was a pastor, and he loved people. And as we were sitting around the lunch table, everyone was eating, and there was around other pastors. And as he was sitting there, all the other pastors began to talk about this new pastor in town. And as they were talking about the new pastor in town, they were ridiculing him, talking bad about him. Have you noticed that the church is notorious for shooting their own wounded? It's like a pastor falls, I knew it. And we shoot them while they're down. They were talking about this young pastor, talking about it. And he said, I watched my dad in this moment. And his dad had stayed calm. And after everything was done, he grabbed his wallet. And he said, I just want to let you guys know, I'm going to take care of this lunch. Because I felt like I was supposed to. I'm going to take care of this lunch. But I also want to let you know, I'm not going to sit here in this gossip train. I'm going to pay for your lunch, and I'm going to leave because I'm bigger than this moment right now, and walked out. That's someone who doesn't flirt with a nuclear bomb. Can we be a church? I know we're not perfect, but can we be a church to truly get to the point where I say, God, whatever I'm flirting with, the time's now. Turn after you, Jesus. Because the more you get comforted in Jesus, the more uncomfortable the world gets. And the more you're comforted by the world, the more uncomfortable Jesus is. Because he will always lead you into all truth. We don't put a fence in our backyard so our girls can feel like they are bound. We put it back there so they have more freedom to play. And a lot of times we look at guardrails as a no from God. He says, no, I just don't want you going off the cliff because we're human and we deal with sin. And I know that it feels very heavy right now, but before we go to the last point, I just really want to take a moment and let that sit, that the Spirit of God today, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the Spirit leads to all truth, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, I go on vacation tomorrow for 2 weeks. That's right. Going on vacation because your pastor needs to sleep. That's why. And I know the enemy is going to attack my head as soon as I'm done preaching this to you. Liz gets it first. Oh, I was too hard on him. Oh, what was I doing? Oh, there was new people in the house. Oh, this is supposed to be a place that elevates their faith. Oh, this is supposed to be a place where they feel encouraged. And the enemy begins to attack and attack and attack and attack. And this whole week, I even tried switching the message. I'm like, nah, that's not what God wants me to preach. No, there's no way that's what God wants me to preach. No, that's not what God wants me to preach. And I felt it so clear in my heart. He said, Sean, I don't know why I'm covering my eyes right now, but just, just, Lindsay, get a picture of this. You're fine. You don't have to. And I felt the Holy Spirit in my heart said, Sean, are you going to follow the Spirit? Because if you do, there will be freedom in the church this weekend. And if I was sitting down with you in a counseling session one-on-one and no one else was around, and I said, what is that thing you're struggling with that you know is making you miserable? What would you say? Jesus wants to hear it, and he wants to help you overcome it. There's some fathers in here. The Spirit's going to start leading you to delete some numbers in your phone. He's going to start leading you to put some protection stuff on your computer and your phone. Because he loves your marriage, and he loves your wife. And he loves your kid. And he loves you. And he knows where it will end, but he sees you enjoying your family. And you may never see the thing he saves you from, but if you are led by the Spirit, I can promise you one thing. It will always lead to freedom. It will always lead to freedom. And wife, if you're in here, and I know that your husband, I know he hasn't maybe said those things recently, maybe he hasn't told you how beautiful you are or how nice you are. Maybe he hasn't thanked you for cleaning the house. And the guy at work always says, man, you're so thoughtful. And I know that his voice sounds a lot higher than your husband's voice right now. And it feels good. And it sounds good. But the enemy is a liar. And he wants to use that situation to pull you out away from your family. And before you know it, he will leave you high and dry too. Don't listen to deceiving acts of the enemy. Don't follow those things. Instead, be open with your husband. Instead, find someone that you can talk to. Let the Spirit lead you into all truth because he wants to set you free. And young person, if you feel like you're overcoming some things and maybe you were exposed to some addictions, you're at a place where you can share about those things right here to shame anybody. And maybe you're in middle age, or maybe you're thinking about going to school or college and you don't know what to do and you don't know how to act and you feel like you want to get around this crowd. And I had a friend hit me up and says, Sean, I'm about ready to join a fraternity and I just don't know if I want to do this anymore because the Spirit of God's showing me some things. And in that moment, he said, I'm nervous and I'm scared because I really want these things because I like the attention that the girls are giving me. Holler, who doesn't, right? Like that's, it says sin is pleasurable for a short time. Paul even says like sin is great. That's what makes this thing hard is because you're enjoying what you're doing. That's fine. Sin is pleasurable. It is great. It is fun, but it does not care about you. It doesn't care what you go through. It doesn't care if it ruins your family. It may be fun now, but it will leave you high and dry and it will leave you in the ditch out there by yourself. And I told my wife, I said, isn't it like the prodigal son, right? The one who was with his family, the one who was begging his dad for his inheritance. He worked with his family. He was going to get the inheritance from his father when his time was up. And he said, I can't wait any longer. This is miserable. I don't want to live here. I feel like I'm bound in chains. He says, give me the money. The father gives him the money. He goes to Vegas and goes to, oh, I'm just kidding. He goes to a big town, Vegas. And as he's there, he spends all of his money in wild living, it says. And it said that he got to a point, even though it was pleasurable, that he now is eating junk out of pig troughs. He's literally eating pig food, which is what sin does. It gets you to a point where even pig food tastes good. And he says, why am I here? My father, even his servants are living better than I am. I'm going to go back. And as he's going back, it says that his dad sees him and he doesn't wait any longer. He books it right back to him and he puts a robe on him and he puts a ring on him and he kills the fattened calf, which shows he was waiting for his son to come back. And he says, let's have a burger party. My son who was lost, he is now found. And that's the same thing Jesus wants to do right now. You may have been messing up your life, but it takes one turn right now to say, God, I'm sorry for the sin I've been playing with. I'm sorry for what I've been doing. Will you receive me back? He says, absolutely, I'll receive you back. But isn't it crazy that that prodigal son thought the wild living was going to bring freedom, and it actually made him bound. But it was the lifestyle he was in that thought he was bound that was going to give him freedom. His father said, everything in my estate is yours. Don't let the enemy tell you that what the world has to offer is greater than what God has to offer. Worship team, you come up. Help me close this thing down. I didn't even get to my third point because it's not important. Oh, it is. It's very important, but not for right now. If this is your first time, we'd love for you to come back next week. But maybe this is your first time, and you said, there's a reason I was here for the first time. Sin is, it's taking our young people. I pull up Spotify to listen to music. The top 10 songs on today's top hits are all explicit. That's not the judge of people making. I'm just saying this is the top 10 songs that our culture is listening to right now. There's got to be more. There's got to be more to this life. He wants to set us apart. He wants to free us. And I don't know what you've heard up to this point, what truth is, but I can tell you one thing. Jesus says in Scripture, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So instead of going to my third point, we're going to be very vulnerable today. Not between me, but between you and God. I'm not just going to ask if you want to be like the prodigal son who wants to come to Jesus for the first time. But I want to do something more too. Maybe there's some things in your life that you've been flirting with. And God's word says, I know you enjoy those things, but you're getting closer to a nuclear bomb. And a lot of people want freedom, but they don't want truth. Spirit, could you just help people today know that your ways are better than any other way? This doesn't mean that you're not going to deal with it. This just means today you're going to make a decision to overcome it. I don't know if it's one thing, two things, or 15 things. Maybe your dad was an alcoholic, and it has now filtered to you, and he wants to stop it with you so that it doesn't get to your kids. I don't know what it is, but with eyes closed, if there's something in your heart that says, Sean, there's some things I've been flirting with, there's no big or small, I don't care, it's sin is sin. There's some things I've been flirting with or been getting too close to with or I've gotten too comfortable with, maybe it's pride, maybe it's hate, maybe it's unforgiveness and bitterness and gossip. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's worry. But there's some things I keep flirting with. But I want the Spirit to lead me into all truth because I want freedom in my family. I want freedom in my life. If you're here today, you said, that's me. I want to make a declaration right here, right now, that I want the things of God. I want the things of God in my life. I want to be free in my life. I want those things right now. If that's you, with keep your eyes closed. I just want you to lift up your hands to God. Say, God, I'm right here. This message was for me. There's some things that I keep running towards that I know are not going to satisfy me. Come on, leave those hands up. If those are those things, come on, don't do this for me. Lift them up. Keep them up. Thank you. There's hands going up everywhere. It's okay. This is a safe place. Say, God, this is what I have. These are my sins. These are my hangups. These are the things I keep running to, but I want freedom in my life. Anyone else says, Lord, I got some things in my life. I'm going to give those things to you. As you lift up your hand, I want you to think about that thing, and I want you to give it to God. Because this is your first step to freedom by noticing what it is in your life that you want to give to Him. And He's going to come into your situation, and He's going to help you through this. Lord, I pray right now, if you lift up your hand, put both hands in the air. receive this word from God. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you see the hands in surrender. I pray right now, Father God, for freedom in this place. I pray, Lord, that we would stop flirting with nuclear bombs, but Lord, whatever you lead us to, I pray, Father God, Lord, that we would have the Spirit of God in us to lead us to truth that will set us free. I pray, Father God, for freedom in this house. I pray for freedom in this place. I pray for freedom in marriages. I pray for freedom in relationships. I pray for people that make the hard call today. They're going to make a phone call today that they know that they need to make. There's someone that needs to make that phone call. The Spirit already put it on your heart, and you need to make that happen and know that God is leading you to freedom, and you will never regret it that years down. You'll look back and say, thank God for that moment that the Holy Spirit spoke during our experience to say, stop flirting with that thing. This is going to save your marriage. This is going to save your life. This is going to save where you are going. Lord, I pray right now that we receive it. I pray we receive it in faith. Lead us to what you have. If we have to throw some stuff away, we'll throw some stuff away. If we have to tell some people to hold us accountable, we'll tell some people to hold us accountable. If we have to get in a group, if we have to serve, whatever we have to do, if we have to use a flip phone, I pray, Lord, that we would do whatever it takes, Father God, to run away from sin and run to you, Jesus, because we need freedom in this place today. You are doing it, and you are rising up a generation of purity and holiness so you can get the glory, Father God. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, if you agree with it, let's stand on up. Come on, let's give God praise.